Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to episode 40 of The Casual Temple, and I'm your host, Marilee Duffy. Here at The Casual Temple, we are discovering our connection to the unseen world of spirit and how that empowers us to know our true selves. Want to support the show? It's simple. Subscribe and leave a star review on your favorite podcast platform. Or you can go to The Casual Temple donation page on Red Circle, linked in the show notes below. We love to hear from you, so drop us a note on casualtemple.com. Your feedback means the world to us. You can also join our mailing list for the chance to win a free aura reading with me, Marilee. We select a winner every month, and your name stays in until you win. This episode, I got the delightful opportunity to chat with the Foolish Fish himself, Denis Poisson. Denis is a YouTube creator with an incredible channel dedicated to all things magic and esoteric. In our conversation today, Denis will share how he got into this field, his journey of discovery that started when he was just a kid exploring different religious texts, and how he was drawn to the esoteric side of spirituality. We'll discuss his personal experiences and the inspiration behind his Foolish Fish YouTube channel. We get into his daily practices, including the lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram and daily planetary rituals. Denis has built an incredibly supportive online community for those interested in the occult, esoteric, and magic, and I'm so excited to have him here to share his insights with all of you today. Here on The Casual Temple, we'll see you on the other side. Today, I'm so excited to have Denis Poisson, also known as Foolish Fish to some of you, who's joining us on The Casual Temple. Denis has built an amazing YouTube channel where he delves into all things esoteric, from book reviews on the occult to fascinating insights on the mystical and magical traditions. Denis is also the author of Hidden Paths, which offers a grounded and pragmatic approach to exploring the mystical and magical traditions of the East and West. That's not all. Denis has also created a divination deck, Foolish Fishes, Folk and Fairy Tales, Cards of Fate and Fortune, which blends divination with timeless wisdom of traditional fairy tales. Denis, welcome to The Casual Temple.
Hello, hello, Marilee. Thank you so much. What a lovely introduction.
Thank you. Yes, you have so many cool things that you do. I was like, I got to fit it all in here.
Right, right. So, do you know, I was counting a couple of years ago, and yeah. I had got up to 27 jobs that I'd had in my life. I like to do a lot of
yes.
different things. I like variety, that's for sure. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Do you mind sharing, if you've done your human design, what your design is, or have you not done it yet?
My human design, No.
You haven't done it yet?
No.
I'm going to say you're a manifesting generator because I feel like I am one. And that
sounds good.
Done a lot of different things. But so I'll just chat about how I kind of like found you, which was really, and I say this, like the halcyon days of 2020.
Right.
Sort of, I was having my own personal sort of, my husband and I have called 2020 like the magical mystery tour, because literally all sorts of kooky things were happening on the mystical bent. Yeah. And I don't think we were alone in that. But, you know, I started reading some magical texts, and that set me off on a path. And of course, reading those books, and you're like, which book should I get? And then, you know, of course, your channel comes up with your like wonderful reviews. And I like in Hidden Paths that you mentioned, like the reason, one of the reasons that you started doing your channel was because of these books, and they're so beautiful, but are they worth the read?
That's
are
right.
they worth the
That's
investment?
Right.
Are they? So yeah, it's such a really great boon and really cool thing that you do for the community. And so thank you.
Oh, that's very touching. Thank you, Merle. I appreciate
yes.
that.
Really and I didn't cool. even go into like, you know, being on your Discord, and I, you know, joined your Discord in November 2020, and you've made such a wonderful community. And so I think anybody who's looking, trying to figure out what this, you know, magic or what books to get, whatever, like, I think it's a great community to consider. Oh,
I appreciate
joining.
That, Merle. Yeah, for sure. I think that community is actually probably the thing that I'm actually the happiest. I'm happy about the whole thing. Of course. I am. Are you kidding? But the Discord community is really, I'm so happy about that because everyone's just so cool.
Everybody's cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You set really good ground rules for the conversation.
Oh yeah, those rules are very strict,
them.
Aren't they?
Yeah, I love those rules.
But yes, yeah.
I've probably broken some of them in the past.
Everyone survived.
Everybody's here.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's wonderful. So thank you. Well, gosh, we usually, you know, here we kind of start with wherever you feel led to say is your story that you kind of want to share.
So we can start. My story. Like, how did I get here? Right?
How did you get here? So simple a question.
So I guess at some point in late 1978, my parents, maybe not that far. but actually maybe not so very far from there, because it's really my experiences of becoming aware of the fact that I was an awareness at around the age of 2.
Yeah.
And being completely freaked out that I had no way of finding out where I had been prior to asking these questions, right? Prior to being here, like, okay, so, but 2 years ago, presumably I wasn't here, right? So I've got my second birthday, fine, yeah, but what was before then? Yeah. So,
yeah.
So I guess that's really what started it all off. And it's been a life of research ever since, just trying to work it out, being very disappointed that my parents didn't have the immediate answer that I was looking for. And then going, oh yeah, but actually nobody else has either. So
yeah,
fine. I'll do my own research. Fine.
Yep.
Yeah. I guess, I've spoken about this in a few interviews, so sorry if I if I'm repeating myself a little bit, but it's actually illegal in France to talk about religion in school. It comes from the French Revolution, the separation of church and state, and so on. And so one of the agreements was that schools would not talk about religion. That's why actually kids get Wednesdays off in France. They get Wednesdays off to go to catechism to learn their religion from outside of school. I didn't go to catechism. I went to various other arts and crafts lessons and stuff. They were allowed some, and my teachers did talk about the ancient religions, because they were presenting this in the framework of anthropology, right? So this, we're talking about the history of the world rather than belief systems, right? Which is no taboo. You don't talk about that at school. So, but hearing about the Egyptian religions, hearing about the Greek religions, and so on. That at that point there was like a bit of a this is fun. I like this. Like, it was the first time that I went home and actually thought, I'm looking forward to doing this homework kind of thing, right? Generally, I was surrounded by atheists. My parents broadly call themselves Christian. My father, I guess, thinks of himself as Christian because he lives in this Christian civilization, which is, you know, fair enough. My mother was brought up in the Church of England, but they were, you know, we went to church once a year or twice a year, whatever it was, you know, the usual fare. And so I, being surrounded mostly by atheists and being in a community where talking about religion was not something you did, didn't really question it until I was 19, at which point, yeah, I picked up a Bible in order to say that I knew what I was talking about when I said that I was an atheist, right? I was like, okay, I need to be able to to back up my claims. Right. And so I did. I read the Bible when I was at university, having very little else to do, and I found it to be absolutely worlds apart from what I had assumed it was going to be, and worlds apart also from what the organizations that claimed to represent what it contained were suggesting that it contained, right? It was just, what I was reading was not what the churches that I then subsequently visited were teaching. I couldn't find a church that actually spoke about what I'd been reading in the actual book. So I thought, you know what, maybe it's the answers aren't in the churches. Maybe they're the very strong indication that organized religions are the problem that actually Jesus got into to trouble for, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe that was actually a clue, and so I decided that maybe the esoteric forms of the religions are what I could be interested in, right? And if I was so wrong about Christianity, maybe I was wrong about Islam as well. So I read the Quran, and maybe I was wrong about all the other religions, right? So I went through a phase of learning everything that I could about Buddhism and everything that I could about Judaism and so on and so forth, and finding that, excuse me, and finding that all of these religions had esoteric forms, which ultimately had very similar messages. And that got me interested. That got me really, really interested. And that's when I read Aldous Huxley's The Perennial Philosophy and just fell in love with that whole idea of common themes, which is natural, of course, because we're humans, right?
Right.
We're humans experiencing reality. Of course, we're experiencing reality with different baggages, different backgrounds, different reality tunnels, as Robert Anton Wilson puts it. But ultimately, we're experiencing reality. So it makes sense that similar conclusions might be reached at different times in different places around the world. And yeah, so that's why I got interested in the esoteric. There we go.
Uh-huh. Oh my gosh, so many cool things there. So when you mentioned, I'll mention this too. I'm pretty sure you and I are like super close in age, because I was born in March of 1979. So I think I'm like a whole 2 months older than you.
Right. Right. April 29th. April 29th.
Over yes.
Here. Yes. Yeah. 79. Okay.
But so when you were talking about being like a young kid, I talked about this on another podcast where I was interviewed, where I was like, yeah, I had these like very like strange adult kind of thoughts when I was like a little right. kid, like, what am I looking at? Like, what is this? And I would have this like running tape of like, you know, analyzing everything. So when you talked about that as a 2-year-old, I was like, that's amazing. That's so funny. And my parents, well, at the time were sort of, I call it sort of Catholic, because my dad was Irish Catholic and my mom's Filipino Catholic. And so I think I asked like, what is all this? Like what? And then my dad like handed me the huge Bible and he was like, he made everything, or something, like handed me like as like, you know, and I'm like 3 or something. I was like, what do I do with this? So yeah, it's like, parents are so funny. Oh gosh. Yeah. And then I love your kind of walking us through sort of the step path through like You know, maybe religion isn't the thing, you know, maybe the more hidden things are. And as far as like the Bible, like because we were Catholic, I picked up the Bible at like the fresh young age of 10 and read through it. And when my dad did decide to go back to church at one point, when I was a young teenager, then it was like, you guys are all wrong. Like I read this. This is not what it says. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, what is this? Oh gosh.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It must have been something in the air around that time. Right. So, yeah.
Like, what is this? But yeah, so all those things are so funny that you mentioned that. I do have a question about sort of, because I attended a talk last week at the Seattle Antiquarian Book Fair, and this gentleman, it was so good. Oh, this would be like the perfect place for you. Oh my God. So also be like thousands of dollars of books. That was amazing. Yeah. But this gentleman, Rick Harris was his name. He gave a talk on alchemy. And he was saying, you know, somebody asked him the question of, you know, why is the occult hidden? Like, why is it hidden? And so now I'm going to ask you the question.
Yeah.
You talked
about
that.
I've got a good answer to that, I think.
I think you do.
Now I'm trying to think, where did I read this answer? Like very recently, very recently, this beautiful answer that was basically saying, come on, where did I read this? All right, I'm going to say the answer. Somebody out there is going to tell us where I read this recently. The idea that the occult is purposely hidden is not the main aspect of the occult. The occult is what is not made popular by our civilization, by our society, right? Yeah. So there are certain ideas that for some reason become extremely popular. I say for some reason, but it's usually political reasons, right? Mm-hmm. And those ideas kind of, they become the accepted norm. And there are other ideas which some of which, definitely not all of which, but some of which have greater merit than the ones that are widespread and that are very popular. They just don't get the airtime that the more popular ideas get. You know, I realized that, for example, Aristotle's ideas got a lot more airtime than Plato. And when I realized that, I was like, that's a shame. And then I realized that Freud's ideas got much more airtime than Carl Jung's. Mm-hmm. And again, I was like, that's a shame too. And every time I seem to find two people saying similar things, but one of them is saying these things in a way that's on the whole kind of destructive, and the other one is saying these things in a way that is on the contrary constructive, it's kind of the destructive one that gets all the airtime, is right. But the more destructive ones, they're not overtly destructive, and they're very convenient for a materialist perspective, right? So occult isn't so much about hiding things so that people won't get access to this important information,
right?
But rather, just simply actually giving access to information that isn't in the light, it's in the darkness. It's not even that it's suppressed. It's that it's other ideas have got more light shone on them, and so they're not given the attention that they could really use, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great answer. Yeah.
Right.
Because I think because it seems like, and
I've been doing a lot of thinking about all this kind of stuff, but like the occult isn't necessarily hidden, but something like, I'll just draw like the Sefer Yetzirah, like is a very, like, you're not going to understand that book in maybe 10 reads, you know?
That's true as well.
You know?
That's another aspect, isn't it? Absolutely. Yeah. You're quite right.
And a lot of these things, I think you mentioned it before, you got to sit with it, and it's not going to be readily grasped or even maybe never even understood. It's something that is either like felt or experienced, you know?
So for that kind of thing, I like to use the word esoteric. And I know that esoteric and esotericism and occultism are very often conflated. Yeah. You know, it's the same thing. It's, I like to use the word esoteric to mean the inner truth, the inner meaning that is presented in a particular way, right? And that presentation is the exoteric aspect of that teaching. And, you know, sometimes it's a useful esoteric teaching.
Right.
But the esoteric inner truth, that's what I'm interested in. Yeah, that's the good stuff. Yeah.
Yes,
the stuff that, that you experience. You have to intuit it, because it's not something that is in common experience, right? Not everyone has these experiences. It's not something that everyone can say, it's a chair, like, you know what a chair is, I know what a chair is, right? So we can talk about it with these words that have been ascribed to them. So with these inner, more subtle ideas, we have to experience them. We have to get to them internally. Right.
So
that's the esoteric aspect. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. Well, everybody, you know, try, you know, give the occult a chance is what I say. See if it's for you. Oh, it's pretty fun. You meet some great, wonderful people. It's my experience.
That is true.
Would you say you had any sort of, with all of these things you were looking into as a young person, did you have any support or guidance from any people or along the way at all?
Yes, authors, right? Yeah. I was like, yeah, my teacher's dead. But thankfully, Aldous Huxley left a load of writings, and I was able to follow his threads into then finding out about, where did I go from Aldous Huxley? I guess I must have gone straight into Robert Anton Wilson. And Robert Anton Wilson left clues about Lon Milo Duquette. So all of these people, are the people who guided me without knowing that they were necessarily guiding me.
Right.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I'm so keen on books, is because you get to have a teacher without any of the downside of having a teacher, right?
Right.
Yeah. I'm not good at having teachers, but if my teacher is in a book, and I can go to the teacher whenever it's right for me to go to the teacher, then, you know, I mean, how perfect is that?
Yeah.
How perfect is that? Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Again, when you say like, I don't particularly like, I'm the same way where I think for me, I get distracted by like, if the teacher is moody, you know what I mean? Or is like favoring a student over another or favoring me over other people, you know? Yeah. And then I get all wrapped up in that. Whereas like with a book, you're like, I just want just give me the meat. I just want to know what you think.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's tough. You know, people reach out to me and say, hey, will you review my course? And so far there's just one course designer, right, that I just recommend wholeheartedly. And I think one of the main reasons is precisely because he records his stuff, makes his stuff available. That's it. He's very good at answering questions, so on and so forth, but he's not like, okay, you need to do this, you need to do that.
Right.
No, it's just like, okay, here's some stuff. When you're ready to listen to it, it's available to you, kind of thing. And if you've got any questions, then reach out. And Jack Grail, right? I mean, all of it. Oh, Love his stuff so much, so much. But for me, his courses are very much like a very entertaining way of reading a book, because you access them in a very similar way. Right. They're short videos. You listen to the video and then you get to think about it and possibly put some of it into practice if you care to. And if you haven't, by the next lesson, it's not the end of the world. You know, it's not like you're going to fall behind or anything. Yeah. Love his stuff.
Jack Grail. Definitely. And another thing I appreciate about like what you talk about on your channel and what you sort of one of the ground rules in your Discord is like, you know, not do it this way, you know, kind of, you know, and I know, and it's 100% because I just like, I don't want people telling me how I need to experience something, right? Because my reality tunnel isn't your reality tunnel.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it's such an important thing to be okay with. I honestly think that every individual has their own spiritual path. You know, as the name of my book, right? Hidden Paths. Yeah. It's you have to take the hidden paths. You have to look at, see what a path looks like, by all means. You know, check out the ready-made paths. That's wonderful. But the ready-made paths are not your path. You can learn from the ready-made path. That's fine. But you have to find your path.
Yeah.
You have to work out what works for you, what doesn't work for you. And it's part of the fun.
Yes, yeah, it is part of the fun. Yeah. And one of the things I think that lends to is this sort of, and this is a heavy subject, but I've been talking with a few people about this, but sort of the, you know, cause I'm Filipino and also Irish, like my dad is Irish, and actually been talking with Dara Mason on his Discord about this.
Oh, wow. Yes.
Yeah. About sort of reclaiming and understanding what those spiritual practices of, you know, before colonialism, right?
And right.
A lot of that has to do with sort of maybe even contemplative mysticism of like experiencing it yourself and then reporting back to the group and like, hey, everybody, does this sound like it, you know, does this fit within our particular traditions that maybe got lost, you know?
That's really interesting. Sorry, I'm seeing your internet connection is unstable. Oh. Sorry, uh-oh. You're probably going to need to edit that out. Can I change my internet connection to my phone hotspot?
Sure, no problem. Will,
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
like that. And all right, I might drop off for a second.
No problem.
I'll be right there. Okay, hopefully that'll be more stable. Sorry about that. Okay.
Oh, no worries. That's the world we live in with the connections.
You just asked me a really interesting question, and
it was around sort of prior to colonization for culture. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I really love what you just said, because I think that we live in a time where so many cultures are meeting each other, right? I come from a family of a French father and a British mother, and, you know, the French and the English famously hate each other, right?
Yes.
But my experience of coming from two not radically different cultures, I mean, they had a lot of influence over each other, but they are very, very different. You know, I hadn't realized quite how different until I left France, where I was brought up, to go and live in England for a while, expecting it to be, you know, no, nothing to do with each other, completely, right. Completely different. And I had to learn how to think English, right? I learned how to be English and so on, right? So kind of an interesting experience. But I think that my experience of coming from two different cultures is less and less the exception. I think that more and more people are growing up in multicultural environments, multicultural societies, and there needs to be spirituality that's accessible to people like us, right? People who aren't exclusively from this particular town in China, you know, who have this exact spiritual path that has been handed down from, you know, generation to generation. It needs to be okay for us to understand spirituality in a more general way and to be able to explore. I guess for me that's the reason why perennialism works so well, right? Yes. And I know perennialism has been abused so badly, you know, with people saying that, oh, if all religions are the same, then that means that all religions are Christianity.
Oh gosh.
I mean, way to misunderstand that, right?
Right.
But if you understand it properly, then it's a really very very beautiful philosophy, right? Anyway, one that certainly resonates for me.
Well, I definitely want to, because gosh, Aldous Huxley. I didn't realize Aldous Huxley wrote a book on perennialism, and it keeps coming up. So I probably need to read that book. Talking with Philip.
It's on my special shelf behind you. It's my first edition. Oh, I love it so much. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Very, very, very happy to get that. Yeah.
Yes.
My hidden paths, you see, that's how important it is to me. Right, you know, like...
I love it. So it's definitely a tradition that I'm becoming more of, like, I think, yeah, it speaks to me quite a bit. So I like, I like that you bring it up quite a bit. But something I know, like, to bring in your fairy tale divination deck. Because I do think that has a lot to do with sort of these teachings.
Yes, it does.
So why did you choose fairy tales? I know you talked about this on your video to some extent, but why fairy tales?
Why fairy tales? I think of fairy tales. I think that fairy tales are what's the word I'm looking for? They're underestimated. Yeah, fairy tales are underestimated. We think of fairy tales as stories for children, and anything that's for children is to be left behind once you reach a certain age and never to be thought about ever again. But I think of fairy tales and folk tales in general as the bedrock of the psyche of so many people. And, you know, I know many of them are European. A lot of the fairy tales that Disney appropriated and did awful things with. We think of them as essentially European, but they are known around the world. You know, people around the world know about Little Red Riding Hood.
Yeah.
People around the world know about Snow White and so many others, right? And since these tales exist within so many of us, it's reasonable to assume that there's something special about them. Okay. My understanding is that there's something very special about them, because I think that these fairy tales, in fact, do map out our mind, right? And I guess people like Mary Louise von Franz, people like Clarissa Estes, the author of Women Who Run with the Wolves, Carl Jung, and of course, Joseph Campbell, they've all studied these folk tales in depth, and pointed out to how they describe the human mind, right? So yes, there's been this this narrative that they describe how women are weak and men are there to save them. That's not the point of these stories, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it's very frustrating that this is the main narrative that has been taken from them and understood from them, but that's not the point. These stories describe the human mind and
Attention everyone, Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on furniture and bedding, cookware and holiday decor, and tons more. Now's the time to score big on finds to feast, get festive, and get comfortable all season long. Plus, enjoy fast and easy shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.
They describe human experiences, and one of my favorite stories is the tinderbox.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it obviously captured my imagination as a kid, but you know, when I think about it now, and the way the soldier goes down into the tree, down into the depths, where he finds these monsters who are very, very dangerous. These dogs of various sizes with eyes of various sizes, and because he knows the right words to say to these dogs, he can actually make use of them, and they do his bidding and things like this. I mean, this is a perfect illustration of the unconscious mind, right?
Yeah.
And of the shadow and so on that can get you into trouble. And the dogs do, in fact, get him into trouble, right? He doesn't realize that a purse full of flowers been attached to the princess whom the dog goes and picks up, you know, etc. But in the end, he's about to get hanged, and the dogs come and help him out and actually save him at the last moment. And it's just one example, but I just find that they are great examples because they exist within us all. We all have access to this wealth of culture, which has encoded within it a description of us.
Right.
And I love that. So when I was looking for a source for creating this little deck of cards, right, I thought to myself, well, to make any kind of divinatory deck or divinatory system, you need randomization, right? Which is why cards work so well. You need a wide enough vocabulary for whatever it is that you're speaking to be able to actually speak to you. And the source needs to be relatively sacred. Traditionally, bibliomancy has been done using the works of Homer. So the Iliad is very popular for doing bibliomancy, right? Mm-hmm. Turning pages and finding a sentence that suits exactly your situation. of course, the Bible is often used, the Quran is often used, and so on. And I thought, you know what? I because fairy tales and folk tales are so underestimated, I don't think it's been done before. So yeah, I'll give it a go. I gave it a go and it worked beautifully. Yeah, it it can be a little bit stern. No, I don't think stern is right. Playful.
Yes.
Yeah. It doesn't care too much about being polite after a while. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny. But yes, yeah, it works very, very well. It answers my questions, and it's, from what I hear from other people who've bought the deck and who've tried things out, it's been quite spot on.
Yeah, I was telling you, because I also have it. And yeah. And I pulled it out and did, and you even have sort of like layouts, like spread layouts, and describing, right. You know, if you don't know how to do one. Yeah. And like, basically the first question, it was like, boom, gave me some things to chew on. Right. Cause the way I ask is like, you know, what are the things I need to know right now, yeah. You know, that I'm missing maybe or whatever, and then kind of leave it a little open. And yeah, I gave it.
Yeah, it's the best way to read.
Yeah.
When I read the tarot, I never ask a particular question. I say, hey, tell me what I need to know.
Yes, tell me what I need to know. Because invariably, and I know Lon Milo talks about this too, like I have done readings for myself where I kind of like, you know, ask it a question of like, what's going to happen? And of course,
yeah,
my emotions about how I want it to happen influence
yes.
me. So I'm not very good at that. When I'm reading for myself, for other people, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm totally objective.
Yeah, no problem for other people. Yeah. Don't you say that to me. Yeah, exactly. I know.
So yeah, I do appreciate, because I think I'll have to send you the spread once I get to my phone. But what I read,
I'd love to see that. Yes.
One of them, I was like, really? Because it was a little harsh. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll think about that one. Yeah, so fantastic.
I'm sorry. I apologize on its behalf, but I'm sure it doesn't care too much. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's fine. But similarly, in a vein of fairy tales, right? Like you talked about the tinderbox. Yeah. There's a lot of like, there's can be some scary stuff in there and things you maybe don't want to look at for sure in those stories. So makes
that's
sense.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Would you say that the tinderbox is the one you feel like you have a personal connection with? Or is there any other?
Yeah. Do you know, I was thinking about the tinderbox today, and I was thinking how, in a way, how similar it is to Aladdin.
Oh,
like, we
yeah.
don't really necessarily make the connection between the two, but of course Aladdin goes deep underground and
yes.
gets a dangerous object, a dangerous companion spirit, right? Which gets him into all kinds of trouble, but also, you know, is the whole key to him solving his life, to him actually
right.
yeah being okay in the end. Yeah.
Oh, that's a chicken one.
Right,
so one of the ones really quickly on the sort of on that front, so like, they're at least the Cinderella story I read when I was a kid, pre-Disney of course,
right,
is the one where she, you know, she had taken like a, or no, it was her, she asked for a present from her father, and it was like the first branch that brushes his hat or something when he comes home or something like that, and that's all she wanted was just a branch.
That's right.
She plants it, and I can't remember if she plants it on her mother's grave or she just plants it in the backyard, but she basically, it's basically something that she, it grew into a beautiful tree, and it was kind of like she's doing sort of ancestor kind of devotional things with this tree and asking it for benefits and favors and to help her in her difficult situations. And so, you know, but that gets a little lost in the
Absolutely. Oh my goodness, Cinderella is such a good choice. I think that the whole idea of the fairy godmother is so powerful. I mean, you have the same thing in Pinocchio,
right?
You know, with the blue fairy and so on, and So, you know, I was telling you a little bit earlier that on Wednesdays in France, you had catechism, and I didn't go to catechism. I kind of brushed it, the whole thing off with arts and crafts, but actually what I was doing was ballet. And it's, yeah, so it's something that I've mentioned once or twice on my channel. I've just got a subscription to the Royal Opera House, and I've been watching Cinderella.
Wonderful.
Oh, absolutely amazing. It's so archetypal, so mm-hmm. so archetypal. Just every single aspect of it. It's just yet another example of how powerful, how much it captures the imagination of children, mm-hmm. how deep children's minds go into these stories, how right. they kind of, you know, live in these worlds as the story is being told. And then that kind of becomes a part of you as you yeah. grow up. And it's become a part of so many other people as they have grown up as well. It's just, it's just wonderful. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Well, thank you for walking us through that. And definitely it's kind of, we talked about sort of, I guess, the occult, sort of the hidden things of occult. There's the hidden things of fairy tales.
That's too. Right.
So it's no wonder that you created your divination deck is right. hand in hand.
Quite right. Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
So kind of my next question, I know you've probably gotten asked this a million times, and you do have explained it, I know, but like, you created, what inspired you to create the Foolish Fish channel? Obviously your book reviews, but you also started doing the Esoteric Saturdays, which a lot of people, it's kind of their first introduction to a lot of things.
Right.
So yeah, what was your inspiration for that?
Well, when I realized that I was getting, goodness, over 36 views per per video, you know, it's like, wow,
holy yeah, I know,
I'm reaching the whole world here.
Love it. Yes.
Yeah I thought to myself, do you know what, maybe I've got something helpful to say, maybe I've got something useful to say yeah. beyond, you know, look at this pretty book, which is helpful, you know, yes. Is the whole point. It was to be able to give people an idea of what they were buying before they bought online, right? But yes, I thought to myself, if a whole 36 people are watching, then I definitely have to do something useful, something that's going to be worthwhile. So I started off by saying the most, talking about the most life-changing thing that had happened to me, which was something weird happening around a taxi ride. There we go. Those of you who've seen that video, yes. You'll know what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's a good one. Yeah, it is. And I was thinking, if it's the only thing that I put out to the world and my channel ends after this, then, you know, at least I'll have told a good story, and hopefully it'll help other people. Maybe it'll help people to put their own experiences into perspective or whatever it might be, you know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I got over 100 views on that one.
Yes, a
few more than that by now, it's true. Yeah. but yes, it was very well received. People were very excited to hear about this very odd story, and yeah. And so that kind of encouraged me to do more. And yeah, from week to week, I was like, okay, well, I've kind of told all my stories now. I guess I'd better start studying and learning new stuff to tell people, right? So that was interesting. That was actually a very interesting couple of years where I was learning about essentially lodge magic, mm-hmm. and just speaking every week about what I'd learned that week, essentially. And because it was such a tiny channel at the time, it didn't really matter that it was all very rough and ready. You know, I'd set up my camera, I'd do a little drawing, be like, this doesn't really work for me. I think it would work better if it was like that, you know, whatever, you know. And then all of a sudden I had 10,000 subscribers. It's like, okay, I guess I've got a responsibility. and that became 100,000 subscribers. It's just been very, it's been overwhelming in a sense, but also just obviously amazing, you know, absolutely amazing. I've just met so many wonderful, wonderful people. Of all kinds.
Yes.
And then a couple of years ago, I started doing one-to-one video conversations so that if people wanted to talk about these weird experiences that they were having with somebody who wouldn't be thinking that they're crazy, you know, they call me and we have a 1 hour chat and I read their tarot and, you know, and I tell them, hey, the thing that you're talking about, yeah, that's, you know, there's this particular weird esoteric part of this weird esoteric tradition that can actually give you some insight into this thing that you've done. And that's been enormously rewarding for me. So good. good. And just talking to these wonderful, wonderful people. So yeah, that's really been my major focus, in fact, for the past couple of years. It's been those one-to-one chats. You know, still doing my best to put out content as often as possible and to keep things interesting, right?
Yeah. I definitely think that's such a great service to offer for people, especially nowadays where everybody is searching for something and a little direction, right? And you know, you're such a perfect person because you're not, like you said, you're not going to be judgmental of like the kooky things that maybe be happening to somebody, but give them a little guidance so they can go off and, you know, experiment or go wherever they need to go. I think that's lovely. Love that. I'm trying to remember. I want to be like, I was on the ground floor of the Foolish Fish channel. I was trying to remember how many people
you
were.
I'm sure you were. I'm sure you were. Yeah. You were certainly one of my first admins on the.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much.
Oh man. It's a reciprocal thing because, like, I've met so many lovely, wonderful people. You're lovely. Yeah. It's so good. I think it was like 2000. I think you had like 2000 subscribers when I like happened upon your channel. And so to see all that growth is like
very
what?
Early, very oh, early. So... Right.
Oh gosh. Okay. So let's see. I'm trying to think of all the questions we haven't gotten to yet. So how would you say I want to talk about your daily practice. Have one, which I know you kind of do. But what does that look like? If you can walk us through.
So I do the Foolish Fish version of the lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram or the lesser invoking ritual of the pentagram, depending on what I'm feeling on that particular day, right? I know some people like to do the invoking in the morning, banishing in the evening. That's great. Many people like to do the Golden Dawn version of the LBRP, LIRP. That's great as well. My recommendation, I regularly get people calling me saying, listen, I've been doing the LBRP for the past 3-4 weeks and everything is falling apart. Like, well,
yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Can I talk about this for a second? I think this is maybe useful. Many people think of the LBRP as being Banishing spirits, banishing anything bad, negative energies, and so on. And that is the purpose of the LBRP. My perspective is that all of that stuff is a side effect of the LBRP. And I think of the LBRP as being a synchronizing dance between your lower self and your higher self. So you're doing in the lower sphere what your higher self is naturally doing all the time. And so that puts you in sync with your higher self, and you're essentially giving permission to your higher self to take the reins and to put you where you're supposed to be. Of course, that's a very good idea because your higher self has got a more bird's eye view of your life, your existence, your everything, because it exists outside of time, outside of space. So that's great, but it's never been incarnated. So it doesn't know what it's like to have to pay a bill. It doesn't know what it's like to have to, you know, have to meet friends by a particular time, because otherwise they'll be annoyed with you, and that could have repercussions, and, you know, and so on and so forth. You've got responsibilities in the material realm, and you, your lower self, knows about those responsibilities. And if you let stuff slip, then you're going to be in a less convenient situation to do what your higher self requires of you. So I say, break up the LBRP with the occasional LIRP, the invoking ritual of the pentagram, right? So that you're having a two-way conversation. It can be a collaboration between your lower self and the higher self, and not a, you know, a master slave kind of situation. Right. Maybe that's being a little bit over dramatic, but, you know, you have to have a say, because you are the eyes on the ground, and so it has to be a two-way conversation. So to those people who are finding their lives falling apart, I say, just do an occasional LIRP, and it can help. So that's that. To come back to my daily my daily practice, I will do an LIRP or an LBRP, depending on the day, depending on what I'm feeling. If I'm feeling overwhelmed and there are too many things happening and loads of people asking me to do things and I just don't have time for it all and it's just too much, then I do an LBRP. And if, on the contrary, I'm feeling really, really like, okay, it's a blank slate. I've got that blank slate now. And what's next? Well, I've got nothing left to give because it's all gone. Right. Then I'll do an LIRP. And so that's the first part of my daily practice, right? Once I've done that, which of course establishes you in the universe, it establishes you at the center of your own universe. It's another thing that people don't talk about enough, I think, is that the magic has the self as the center of the universe. You know, it's not a heliocentric or a geocentric system. It's a self-centric system, right? Everything depends on where you are, what you're doing, what you're thinking, where, right? So the LBRP is an establishing ritual which puts you at the center of the universe. Once I've done that, then I do the pentagram ritual of the day, the heptagram ritual of the day, right? So then I do the heptagram ritual of the day. Monday's the moon, Tuesday's Mars, Wednesday's Mercury, and so on, right? So I've done the whole video on how I do the heptagram ritual, but the purpose is to experience the energies, thoughts, reach out to the divinities of the planet of that day, and fully embody all of that. And the first few times that I did this, there were some of them that were kind of scary. You know, I didn't know very much about them. You know, Mars and Saturn are very well known to some people, not to me, right? They didn't come to me very naturally. And so reaching out every single week I was able to discover aspects of them that I had never imagined, right?
Yeah.
It's not all negative. I know they're called the malefics in,
right.
in astrology and so yeah. on, but it's not that they are bad any more than the others are good, you know.
Right.
It's just that they have aspects that are maybe more intimidating than others, and yet the others have aspects that are just as negative, but they also have positive aspects. So it gives you an opportunity to explore the whole range of that one planet. And so you've got these seven planets, which are supposed to, in fact, encompass the whole, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the unity, excuse me. You've got the unity, which is, first of all, divided into four by the four elements, and you learn about each of those elements really well. And then you divide them into seven, right? You learn about each of those planets really well. And so I do that every day. And I ask those planets to bless me with whatever from them I may need, to bless my family with whatever they may need from them, and to bless this whole list of
right.
members, right, from my Patreon and from the memberships from YouTube. And so I read out the list of members who have asked for that particular deity to bless them. Okay, mm-hmm. So I'll read out the list. Please bless all these people as well, right? And then I visualize those blessings going out to the four corners of the globe, right, to wherever those people may be. And then I finish with the Kabbalistic cross. And if you've ever done an LBRP, you'll know that you start with a Kabbalistic cross, supposed to end as well with a Kabbalistic cross, which is where you're drawing light down from above you, and you're essentially doing the cross, but with slightly different words, although they're not really different words. I do that because my way into all of this was ultimately, originally, through Christianity.
Right.
And I think of all of this as aspects of the overall monad, right? So not necessarily the god that is thought of by many people who follow the Semitic religions,
right?
But actually by an overall whole, I guess, what the Neoplatonics would have called the monad, right?
Yeah,
the origin, right? So I think of all of this as aspects of that monad. In fact, I think of my baker as an aspect of the monad. I think of every single individual thing, this microphone, this light, you know, it's all aspects of the monad, including the deities that I speak to on a daily basis. They're all aspects of the monad, whether they be light or dark, by the way, right? So there we go. That's what I do every day.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's a pretty good everyday practice. My goodness,
right? It's relatively short, actually.
Oh,
right,
you got
I managed
down.
To do the whole thing. Yeah, right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But that I try to do every day, right?
Wow, amazing.
As well as that, I'll do other things, right?
Yeah,
so might reach out to various other entities and so on during the day or whatever. But that's something that I try to do every single day. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I loved your description of sort of the LBRP and the LIRP, sort of what, you know, you perceive as like what is actually happening is very cool. Just because naturally when I do the LIRP, I've been including, and everybody's like, the hot topic is the HGA. So I have like my HGA name. And so I invoke in all the corners and everything. And like, it has like a specific feel, at least when I do it, the LIRP that way. So many ways you can kind of do that.
Oh, yes, there are. Sure. Yes, there are.
Yeah.
I actually do encourage people to examine the LBRP and to decide, you know, if it actually works for them.
Yeah.
People were outraged when I decided that the East should be fire the South should be air. But I discovered recently through David Rankin that actually it was Eliphaz Levi who switched those. Because that's how they originally were, with air in the south and fire in the east.
Wow.
And Eliphaz Levi, use the French pronunciation there, switched the two, and because the people who were setting up the Golden Dawn were kind of into Levi, that's what they used. It wasn't such a crazy thing for me to do.
Exactly. It felt natural for you.
That's right.
And I wanted to also, because I do a planetary, because you were doing it like early on in your, I was like, what? And so I started doing, and so I've been continuing to do it for years now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. And okay. So you're definitely inspired my devotional practice. And I love it so much because of all the things you said, like understanding something like Mars, which I've been thinking about so often because my rising sign is Aries. So, but I'm a Pisces sun. So there's a lot of like,
oh wow.
Yeah. really understanding what that energy is, the positives and the negatives, and even something like Jupiter, which is the ruling planet of my sun sign Pisces. Yeah, everybody understands the beautiful wealth and all the wonderful things of Jupiter. But some of it is like that can be overrun, right? Like
too much.
Out of
yeah,
control,
that's right.
You know,
that's right. You just made me think of Midsummer. You know, the movie Midsummer, yes. Where everything is just too much sun, and you're used to horror movies being dark and
exactly.
stuff. No, this is all very, very well lit, and that's the problem.
Right? Too much. Yes.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. There is a negative side to everything, and there's a positive side to everything. That's okay.
And even some of my sort of contemplations and meditations on Jupiter, like I found there's a big chair, like to balance that, there's a big charitable aspect of it too, of like you've been given so much wealth and so many blessings, you know, you got to spread it out, like you can't hold on to it.
That's right. It's about a flow, isn't it?
Yes. So I love that. Yeah, so thank you for like inspiring that practice that I love so much.
It's my honor.
Yes. Wonderful. Okay, let's see, so we're kind of wrapping up a little bit. So do you have, you're always posting things on your channel for sure, but are there any specific projects or events that you want to kind of talk about or let us
know? There's a bit of an exclusive.
Ooh.
Literally the first person that I'm talking to about this. Yeah.
I love it.
I'm not even sure I'm allowed to talk about it yet, but I'm going to. I'm going to. I don't know when you're thinking of releasing this, but anyway, I think it's okay. I think we're getting close to the time when this is going to be public. In January, I'm going to be giving a course in collaboration with some awesome people. I don't think I can say much more than that.
You better tell me after the call.
not a awesome person, but some awesome people.
That's so cool.
If everyone is on board, that I hope is on board, it might be five other people.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Very, very excited for that. I'm going to be doing most of it. I'm going to be doing five of the lessons, and then the other five will be doing one lesson each, or I think one of them possibly two lessons. Something to look out for. Yeah.
That's so exciting. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I'm going to be working on that over the Christmas holiday for sure. I don't think the other projects, but there are projects.
I don't think
the other projects are far enough advanced to actually start talking about them quite yet. But Yeah.
That's a natural progression for you. So that's really cool.
Right.
You
know? I'm very, very excited. Very, very excited. Yeah.
Well, awesome. Well, if you know, we also share like where can people find you? Learn more about
for sure.
All your cool things.
Right. Yeah. So YouTube is obviously my main place. I try to be active on Facebook. I have to, you know, I have to pick because you can just spend your whole life, right? Yeah. Your whole life on social media. But really, the Discord is probably where my heart actually is, right? I mean, I'm on Facebook a lot because I have to keep up to date with what's going on for the news, right? The news segments that I do every Thursday for members, and then get released on Fridays for the general public. But the exclusives usually get dropped on the Discord. You know, that's really where
yes.
where the people who are very close to my heart tend to be. And of course, there's the bookings, right? The one-to-one bookings, which have been doing very well, and people have appreciated those, and so have I, by the way.
Well, definitely everybody check out Denny's, all of the cool things he does. He's always up to something cool. Obviously he's got projects in line, so stay tuned for those. So finally, you know, always our guests leave us with some wonderful words of wisdom after they've dropped lots of words of wisdom. But what are some words that you'd like to leave with us today?
I've been thinking about this, you know, like, but I'm foolish. I don't have wisdom. It's the whole point.
maybe that
is indeed it. Yeah. I mean, remembering that we are all beginners and can only ever be beginners, you know, the people with 40 years experience behind them, it's just 40 years. It's nothing.
Right.
It's nothing. It's literally nothing. So you know, obviously there shouldn't be a deterrent for people getting started going, oh my goodness, you know, I've done 6 months and it's so hard already. Mm-hmm. You know, 40 years is barely a beginner. But it's okay. The journey's the point. Just learning something new. And I think the thing that served me the best has been to be open to anything being possible until I've worked it out to be impossible, right? So when I hear something that sounds ridiculous to me, I don't dismiss it. I do a spot of research first, you know, I do a spot of personal experimentation, and that's probably the attitude that's got me into the most exciting situations. I guess, right? Just being okay with ridiculous propositions being possible, unless it's quite obvious that they're impossible for reasons that I've worked out, right? Not
right.
Just because I've decided that it sounds silly or whatever, right? Yeah. There's the flip side of this, of course, is that, you know, we are interested in some pretty fringe stuff, and that puts us in contact with some pretty fringe ideas. And
right.
You really do have to keep your wits about you, because there's so much predation out there, right? People who will just take advantage of gullibility.
Yeah.
And so it's a tightrope. That's for sure.
Tightrope.
Yeah.
Well, yes. So thank you so much, Denny. Mm-hmm. I appreciate your time. And
Merrily, it's absolutely my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. I've had a lot of fun chatting with you today.
Denny is so talented and kind, just one of the best people to represent the occult and esoteric community. Do take a look at the show notes for the links to Denny's Foolish Fish YouTube channel, and definitely consider a one-on-one consultation with him if you're looking for direction in your magical or spiritual lives. Come explore the ethereal with us. Let's show the world you support the content on Casual Temple Podcasts by liking, following, and subscribing on YouTube or your favorite podcast platform. Do drop us a note at casualtemple.com. We'd be delighted to hear from you. Thank you for tuning in and being an essential part of the Casual Temple community.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You've got questions? O'Reilly Auto Parts has answers. Need a pro you can trust? We've got that too. No matter what you need, our professional parts people have the training and expertise to help you do things right. Deep automotive knowledge. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, oh.